Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Right. Welcome. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch. I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. I am hopefully joined here in the studio with Blythe Ahlberg. Blythe, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can.
There you are. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is so awesome. We're trying out a new technique, which is kind of what our show is about today. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is. So today's episode is called Three Things to Do Differently This Year for Incredible Results. And as you'll notice, we're trying something a little bit different now. We're on Blog Talk Radio, which allows us to take phone calls from listeners so that it's more like just a regular radio show where people can, you know, we'll have our topics, obviously, but people can call in and ask questions and we can take those calls directly online. So, you know, if you guys want to call in, just watch the Facebook page and we'll post when we're going live and you can call in and ask your questions.
I love the extra bit of interaction.
Now, I'm not going to say it's gone smoothly for episode number one, but hopefully it'll work itself out as we kind of go forward with this.
Yeah.
All right. So as I mentioned, today's topic is three things to do differently this year for incredible results. And, you know, results are easy, right, Blythe? It's easy to get results. It's hard to get the results that we want. And so we've spoken about this in the past, you know, even I think it's probably the first or second show we did when we said, you know, if you want different results, do something, do anything differently than you're doing now. And what we'd like to do today is just kind of talk about three key things. And they're not exactly specific things, not like tactics, but they're really strategies, three key strategies to implement into your lifestyle this year so that you can work towards having a different result. Now, for some of you, that different result is actually losing some weight, right? You've tried losing weight and for some reason your body won't let you burn the fat. But for others, it's really about losing the weight and then keeping it off forever. And so that's where the difference lies from past successes and failures, and that you may be okay with the loss of the weight or the loss of the fat, but you're having great difficulty maintaining that once you achieve it.
That's a whole nother beast.
It certainly is. So why don't we just go ahead and jump right into the three things. Now, this is a fairly short show today. We're going to do about 30 minutes, and let's just go ahead and jump into the topic. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Awesome.
So my first one, my first strategy is to build an identity rather than a weight loss program. And I think I have spoken about this in the past briefly, but I wanted to really dive deep into this because it is a key missing component of practically everybody's lifestyle and weight loss program that I have come across in the past. And that is, they may know what they have to do. They may know what kind of dietary changes they need to make. They may know what kind of exercise program they have to follow. But what happens is they never take it to the final step or the final stage of any transformation. And that is building a brand new identity. So I'll give you an example. You know, nobody builds an identity around being somebody who loses weight. And I guess that's probably not true because we all come across people at parties who are that I'm on a diet person, you know, the person who's been on every single diet, and their whole existence is about teaching everybody who's around them about the diet that they're on. And so some people do get their significance out of being the person who knows about the latest, greatest fad diet, right? But for the most part, our listeners aren't those people. Our listeners are the people who really want to just achieve their weight loss goal, and their life doesn't result around, or they don't want their life to, you know, circulate around just this concept of losing weight. So our ultimate goal is to work to develop a brand new identity, a fit identity, right? You know, if we're living a lifestyle that's sedentary, working a desk job, for example, and that's our whole life, or our life is being a mother or a father, and that's our identity. That's cool and everything, but you need almost like an alter ego, an identity like Clark Kent has Superman, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You know, yeah, so your father, your mother may be the Clark Kent, but then this new super healthy fit you is the new identity that you're developing. And I'm going to talk a little bit here in a minute about what exactly that means and how to make that more of a concrete concept. But Blythe, what do you think about this whole concept of building an identity? What's your take on it?
Well, I absolutely love it. And I find that this process actually takes a little bit of self-discovery. It's a process. It takes a little bit of self-discovery, and it also takes you learning how to ask yourself some empowering questions to be able to create the new identity.
Absolutely. And so those are the types of questions that we'll get into during the show. I'm sure Blythe has a bunch of them that she asks her clients, but I'm sure you do, and I can't wait to hear them. But let me just kind of speak to a more concrete way to apply this concept of building a new identity. So when, you know, as I mentioned, nobody wants to be that person whose whole identity is built around dieting, right? So what we want to try to do is focus more on the fitness side of things, and even beyond that, on the hobby side of things, or even the, the second nature you kind of thing. So what I'm speaking about is, rather than being somebody who's on a diet, for example, maybe you love to dance. So your new identity becomes, I am a dancer, right? And we've had some people like this in the community who kind of started out without really any kind of fitness identity, any kind of Superman identity, but went on to say, oh man, I love ballroom dancing, for example. And they ultimately went on to start training in ballroom dancing. And at first it just says, oh, way to be active, a way to get out in the community, a way to meet people. But then as time went on and they kind of implemented it into their life, they began to adopt it as part of who they are. Now, instead of being somebody who takes ballroom dancing lessons, they now become a ballroom dancer. That's what I mean by identity, by taking on a new fitness identity, right?
I love that. And yes, I can think of somebody off the top of my head who has been someone who's been a listener to us for a while, and she actually is now labeling herself a ballroom dancer. And at the beginning, she was just taking lessons. So I enjoy seeing that transformation happen. Now, making the conscious effort to do that is going to be something that we can utilize here as a tool to apply to our lives.
Right. And I see it as well in jiu-jitsu. So I take Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Gracie jiu-jitsu, which is a certain martial art. And I see people who kind of come into class and they start taking the introductory classes, and they're kind of just feeling out, seeing if it's something that jives with them. And then eventually, as they decide to sign up and as time goes on, they eventually become a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu martial artist. And then that begins to take on its own kind of rules, you know, and that's kind of what we're talking about here when we're talking about changing our identity, is when you become a ballroom dancer, your rules change. When you become a martial artist, your rules change. When you become a bodybuilder, your rules change. Also, your circle of influence changes, right? The people you're surrounding yourself with.
Right.
Now, when you're working with people, and let's say you get somebody who is, they're coming, they're 60, 70 pounds overweight. They've just kind of taken on a day job. They've built a family, and their life is surrounded around the family. And they're coming to you for coaching and for training. You know, it's one thing to kind of get them in the gym and work them out hard for an hour, right? And then it's and then when they leave there, that's a 60 minutes out of a 24-hour day, and they may only do that two or three times a week. What about the rest of their day? Like, how do you get people, how do you coach people down towards the path of finding this new identity?
Well, that's actually a great question. And I find that within that 60-minute training session, or even if it's 30 minutes, we end up talking a lot about that shift that they need to take, or the shift they need to make to be able to continue what we're doing outside of that hour. So, you know, if they're only maybe training with me three times a week, then we certainly need to talk about things that they can do. And we basically build a plan. We ask ourselves some empowering questions, you know, like, you know, how am I going to come up with the time to do this? What is it going to cost me time-wise? You know, where are some areas in my life that I can make allowances, because I obviously need to make change. I'm stuck in the same cycle. How can we do that? How can I make some different choices? So we end up talking about this a lot during the training session, which is fantastic because it's almost like a double whammy. You know, we're talking about a plan for the future and how to start creating action. And that's happening while they're physically in the moment making physical change. So that's what we usually do, is we talk about building a plan. And because my clients are accountable to me, you know, because they have a trainer or because they have someone coaching them for nutrition, they are being held accountable to that. So I find that making a plan around that person that is holding you accountable, or those people that are holding you accountable, is certainly more motivational and apt to create change than if you just talk about it amongst your friends.
Right. And then, you know, as you kind of develop a new circle of friends who are also building that same identity, then it becomes easier and easier. And what I love about this whole concept of building a new fitness identity is the fact that there is a system of checks and balances in place. So if I'm training jiu-jitsu, for example, and, you know, these classes go on an hour and a half just for the class, and then after the fact, you basically fight each other. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there, you know, by the end of that session, of that training session, if you have been living up to the identity, because the identity yeah. tells you so, by whether or not right. you know, you're just wiped out, you know, throwing up on the floor from so much activity and exercise. There is a requirement that is built into what you're doing. If you're a dancer, for example, and you have very poor flexibility, well, flexibility is something that's well within your power to improve and change. Your new identity will tell you if you are staying true to your word of being that person or being that identity. And that's what I love about it. It does it in a very subtle way. It's not like there's somebody who's screaming at you, unless you have a very aggressive ballroom dance instructor or a martial arts instructor right. or a bodybuilding instructor or rock climber. You could be a rock climber. What are some other things that people could some other identities that are you know, you could be a marathoner. We don't necessarily like that. I prefer somebody be like a 5K-er, you know, somebody who really right. wants to be the fastest 5K-er that they can run, that kind of thing, or a cyclist. You know, that's another kind of identity that people kind of take on.
Yeah,
there's just so
gymnast,
many out
an
there.
Athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, an athlete
and,
is a very general one, but if you want to become more athletic, become an athlete.
Yeah, it could be the best darn kickball player
right?
in the entire league that you're playing, or the best darn what's it called? What's that frisbee game? Ultimate
frisbee.
Yeah, frisbee golfer that is out there. It doesn't really matter as long as there is a new set of rules and a new set of requirements for you, right? Something that causes
right.
you to grow and push yourself on a regular basis.
Right.
So that's building an identity. Is there anything else that you want to say? What other things, what other tips can you give somebody to kind of find that thing, find that identity that really that really drives them towards a very fit and healthy life?
You know, I quite often ask people when I meet with them for the first time, at what point in your life were you the most comfortable in your body? You know, usually that connects to what age were you or what were you doing in your life when you were in the best shape. But I like to say it's a little more open-ended if I say when you were most comfortable in your skin, because usually that kind of connects the dots for people. And usually they'll tell me, you know what, I was swimming laps every morning and I was really, you know, I felt great. I quit stepping on the scale all the time. It was when they were doing something that they really enjoyed. And usually it's an activity that they will share with me. It might even be, you know, when I was in the running group with all of my friends when I lived in Florida or whatever it is. But it's usually something that you can ask and people will share an activity that they were doing at that time. That's how I usually get people to kind of self-discover what they were doing. And then my follow-up question is usually, and why are you not doing that any longer? And if they have some sort of an ailment and they can't run anymore, then I usually make some sort of a suggestion to, well, you know what, we don't have to go running 5Ks, but what about walking 5Ks? You know, the energy around you is still the same. You're going to see maybe some of your old friends from the running group or whatever it is, but we come up with something together. So I think people really need to think back to when they were the most comfortable, the most active, in the best shape of their lives, figure out, remind yourself what you were doing at that point in time, and start there.
I love that. And, you know, sometimes that most healthy point in their life is in high school or in college when they were partaking in a sport. Yeah. It may have been a sport that you loved. It may have been a sport that you hated. It really doesn't. You know, if you found some joy in it, that is what matters. So if it's something that you hated, obviously don't go back to that. Find something else that may be more fun for you or more exciting for you or something that really pushes you to grow and become stronger. That's what you want to focus on when you're really trying to find something. But I do love that concept of going back to a time. You know, we've done this a lot. Like when we're talking about diet and exercise and lifestyle, one of the things that I ask my patients is, when were you your healthiest? Just like you said, when were you at your best? When did you feel the best in your body, in your own skin? And we go back to that. And then ultimately what they do is they say, you know what? I was doing this and this. And then my next question to them is, what happened? Why did you stop? And it may have been that they just had a lapse in judgment, and that lapse in judgment caused them to, you know, gain the weight back, or perhaps they had a real stressful time in their life, or anything along those lines that caused it. All that stuff, by the way, doesn't mean that you need to toss out everything that you've learned and done up to that point. It just means you need to make some tweaks to that. That is really speaking to whether or not a program or a lifestyle or a diet or an exercise is appropriate for the biochemistry of your body. But it's not enough to stop there. You also have to decide and figure out if that particular lifestyle change is appropriate for the culture of your life as well. If it's not, don't throw out the biochemistry component, just fix the culture component. Well, what was it about that time? What was it about the stress? What was it about this moment of digression that you had? What were your beliefs? Did you believe that just threw out everything up to that point, that you eating that whole pizza pie was the end of the entire diet? Is that what you thought or felt? If so, that's what we need to fix. It's not the fact that that a low-carb diet, for example, works for you. It's the fact that there's something about your mentality that is preventing you from implementing the thing that works so well.
Ah, well put.
All right. And this kind of is a good segue to bring us into point number two, which is the second strategy, the second thing to do differently this year for incredible results. And what is that? It is build a team this time. You know, we've been talking a lot about people that we've coached and people that we've counseled. And these are people, and one of the reasons that they develop such good or have such good results is because of the fact that they have somebody to help them become accountable to. That you have somebody who's pushing them or nudging them in the right direction as well. So building a team around you is a very, very important factor. If you have not done that in the past, it is something that you really need to pursue this time around. It will make a huge difference to the results that you get. True or false?
Absolutely true. And I usually call this phase or this second point something like exploring new potential ways to implement change in your life, whether it be getting a financial advisor because you need help in that part of your life with your finances, or getting, you know, a personal trainer or somebody to help you with your nutrition. That person who is going to be the tool to kind of push you and, you know, maybe, you know, keep pinching you behind you to keep you moving along that path that you want to see some growth in.
Right. And so, you know, the question then becomes, how do you do it? How do you find the right people for the team? And by the way, it may sound like we're talking just about, like, say, a personal trainer or a nutritionist, but it's not just about that. And it's about everything. This year, what I would love for you to do is to focus on finding a team of people who will help promote success in your life on many different fronts. Why? Because weight loss isn't just about what you eat and how you exercise. Anybody who still believes that after listening to this show, you haven't really been listening, because the reality is, and we've said this in the past, how you do weight loss is how you do everything. So, you know, it's how you do your finances. It's how you sleep. It's how you stress. It's how you deal with people in your life. It's how you – it's the types of things you accept from people in your life. There are just so many different fronts from which you need to focus your attention on that if you just – have this narrow view that it's all about diet, or it's all about exercise, or even it's all about diet and exercise, and you ignore your financial troubles, your relationship stress, your work stress, those types of things, mm-hmm. then you're dismissing probably 70-80% of the picture.
Right. And that's probably why you're stuck where you are. If you are in fact stuck, you know, most of us get tied up in a cycle. And like at the beginning of the show, when you said, you know, if what you're doing isn't working, you've got to find a new way. And I find that trying something new is often difficult for most people, including myself. So, you know, really reach outside the box. One of my favorite memes is that it's a picture of a chalkboard, and there's a circle on the chalkboard, and it says where the magic happens. And there's this little teeny tiny dot, like a planet in another universe outside of that circle. And it says, this is where the magic happens. So it's outside of that circle of comfort that we often reside in.
And sometimes we need somebody to push us outside that circle of comfort. And that's part of the purpose for building your team, is to do that. Now, when I say build your team, it can mean find a good, solid doctor to give you a good workover. Find out why your energy levels are low. You know, find out, you know, just how healthy or unhealthy you are, so that you have a you are here point, a starting point from which you can grow and develop. And then set your second appointment. Set your second appointment 6 months from that time, or 3 months from that time, and that way you can have something to look forward to. Personal trainers can be expensive, but if you get a good one, if you get somebody, even if it's once a week, guys, if it's once a week, at least you know a week from now you're going to walk in there and you're going to have to account for everything you've done up through that week, right? Because they're going to do measurements. They're going to put you on the scale, and they're going to ask you, well, what's going on? What have you done this week to really earn the result that you're getting, right? Whether they're good or bad.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you know, you sound like a sweet little thing on this podcast, but I will tell you, when you're a client of Blythe's, you better produce. You better show up, because she will call you out if you're not staying true to your word. And that is such an important quality of a coach, of a trainer, is somebody who's not just going to show you bubblegum and puppy dogs and unicorns. It's about somebody who's going to be honest with you so that you can grow. That's what it's about, right, Blythe?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, some of the best trainers are just like myself. You know, I might look small and unintimidating on the outside, but, you know, finding people who are really good at what they do and that they enjoy it, they have a passion for it, they're going to expect those results. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Find somebody who's great for you and your personality. And make sure they hold you accountable, you know, back yourself into a little corner.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. All right. On to number three. So, you know, back to kind of summarize point number two is, again, build a team. You know, if you're really in a lot of financial debt, I think it's something you need to really focus on first, even before you focus on exercise and diet. Talked about this in a previous podcast. It's such a huge stressor to people that it can derail you, even good, healthy, you know, other good and healthy lifestyles. So find somebody to help you work out that debt, for example. If you're really having difficulty kind of navigating the world from the perspective of your mind, find a good counselor, somebody who can sit and listen to you and kind of give you some good guidance to help strengthen the mentality so that you're ready for the physical changes that you need to make as well. If exercise is your thing, like I said, you can either get a personal trainer or you can do the doctor technique, which is go find a good doctor to give you a good workup, set a second appointment 3 months from then, and just dedicate yourself to really building your fitness that way.
Right.
One big question before we move on to the next point, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well, Blythe. One big question that we get, that I do hear, is what's best? Should I overhaul my lifestyle, or should I take it one little step at a time? And here's my answer: when you look at the science suggests that the one step approach is the most effective approach, where you make small changes. And here's where I think the science kind of gets it wrong. Is that really applies to somebody who doesn't have a team, someone who doesn't have a coach? If you have a coach, if you have a team behind you, then you can make big change because they will hold you accountable. They will give you the motivation, the external motivation that you need to kind of get out of, you know, to burn the engines through the atmosphere, right? When that first stage of the space shuttle, when it goes up into space, almost all of the fuel is burned just getting out of the atmosphere, even just getting up off of the launching pad. And then once it gets out of the atmosphere, it uses very little fuel, right? And that's kind of the same thing. When you have a coach, when you have a team behind you, you have the fuel that you need to kind of get out of the atmosphere into the area where things are going to get a lot more easy for you. So you can take on more when you're coached properly. But if you don't have a coach, if you can't afford a coach, then you want to focus on small changes because you just don't have the same level of motivational fuel behind you that you would if you had that coach behind you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. And I love the way you put that. Quite often my brain goes straight to thinking, well, if you make too much change at one point in time, you know, all at once, then you kind of burn out your immediate motivation for that. And like we've podcasted about before, we've talked about how motivation just doesn't last. It's not meant to last. So you do have to have those things in place if you plan on taking larger steps. And the things I'm talking about being in place are having coaches or people that will hold you accountable and guide you, you know, kind of nip at your heels when you veer off track. And, you know, it's going to be a very individualized thing. If you're somebody who chooses to go, let's say the doctor route, going and getting, you know, a blood workup and figuring out, you know, what's making you so tired. If that's a big change for you, great. Stick with that. Then maybe that's enough for right now. But if you feel like, well, I've got 6 months until my next checkup, then maybe I should implement, you know, maybe going to see a financial advisor. Getting your life in order like that is going to relieve so many of the stresses that we experience on a day-to-day basis that we learn to just kind of put up with. You know, we kind of build these mini walls all around us, so walls of stress, so we can continue to absorb these things. But when you start tearing down those walls and you've got people holding you accountable, you can definitely make more headway. And what I usually tell my clients when I'm working with them is it's like a domino effect. When you make change in one area, you're going to notice that other areas of your life become less stressful and things just sort of fall into place.
Right. And when you resolve some of that stress, that then leaves more mental energy for other things like resisting that donut that comes your way at the office or that birthday cake
right.
that comes your way at the office. And so, you know, it's like you say, it's a domino effect, and it's a domino effect in the opposite direction. It's like the dominoes build up as you get rid of these outside stressors that we don't necessarily correlate
yes.
with our current health and lifestyle, but are very directly related. Good.
Yes. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Yes.
All right. So the third and final thing to do differently this year for incredible results is build a routine. Now, this kind of puts the period at the end of the sentence, if you will, because when we build a routine, we take all these other factors and we make them a permanent reality. So, you know, if we're talking about building an identity, and perhaps let's go back to the dance example. You build your routine of, okay, I'm going to go to dance class Mondays and Thursdays. Those are my class days. And the rest of the world needs to work around those times because that is my routine. That then solidifies that identity that you have. You know, for me, going to jiu-jitsu is Thursdays and Saturdays. And I love my wife and kids, but you guys better figure out what you're going to do with yourself Thursdays and Saturdays at these specific times, because those are my routine days for jiu-jitsu, right? And I'm sure you have
right.
yours, Blythe, and anybody who builds that identity develops that routine. And then you kind of take it from there and you go to the next thing. Okay, well, what's my routine for waking up in the morning? What's my routine for measuring my results? How am I going to measure my results? When am I going to measure the results and stick to that routine? What's my exercise routine? Like when we think of exercise, I think of, okay, well, if I just get in 3 exercise sessions this week, then that's what I need to achieve. Or if I just get 4 exercise sessions that week, that's not what building a routine is about. Building a routine is about, okay, I'm going to exercise 3 or 4 days. I'm going to exercise 4 days this week. It's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Those are my exercise days. At this time, at this place, when I get there, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do 30 minutes of resistance training, 15 minutes of high-intensity interval training, and then I'm going to go home. On Fridays, I'm going to go to yoga class. I'm going to do an hour class of yoga. On Sundays, I'm going to do some resistance training and then go for a nice jog or a nice run through the forest. So that's the kind of approach you want to take when you're thinking about routines, is they are very, very specific. They are very, very time and date oriented. So it's this day, this day, this day, this time, this time, this time. And that's what building a routine is about. That when you achieve that, and when you achieve that and stick to it, your life changes and it circles all the way back to building that identity. Because the routine is what demonstrates the identity that you've chosen to build. If you have no routine, you have no identity. And it also goes back to the team, right? Because we have a routine as to how we're assessed. If you're seeing your coach, your trainer 3 days a week, it should be the same 3 days every week. Now, from time to time, you have to shift it a little bit. Okay, great. If it's the doctor, okay, I go to the doctor, I have a visit every 6 months. That's my routine. Dental health, very, very important. You know, for example, there was a recent study that found that if you want to cut your risk of pneumonia this year by 30-40%, then have regular dental visits. Why? Because the bacteria of the mouth can also end up in the lungs. And when people get regular dental visits, that's the key, they can decrease the risk of developing pneumonia. Well, same thing goes with other areas of health. Having poor gum health leads to inflammation throughout the body that makes weight loss very, very difficult. So all these things need to be incorporated into a set daily, weekly, monthly, bimonthly, biannual schedule and routine so that they can have the effect that we want it to have. almost nothing in health, Blythe, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, works one time. You can't do one exercise session and expect to lose a pound the next day from that exercise session. Nothing works one time. It has to be repeated in regular intervals for the body to feel that you are serious about the change and allow that change to manifest in results.
Right. And I quite often tell people when, you know, establishing a routine is really important. And it's a little easier when it comes to the personal training because we're actually making an appointment to meet and we're both agreeing that we're going to be there. So I usually tell people, no matter what it is, regular dental visits, it could be going for a 30-minute walk every day. You are making an appointment, and that appointment is something that you cannot miss. It's just like a dental visit or a doctor visit. You know, most of us schedule those knowing that it's hard to get in, and you're going to have to stick to that time and that appointment and that date. So make your life full of appointments. If you're not sure how to build, build a routine, fill your life with appointments.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that that kind of rounds out the discussion. Before we go for the day, Blythe, go ahead and give one final, just broad tip for making some really incredible changes this coming year. What would be something, your best tip that you can think of right now that can result in major progress that somebody may not have implemented this past year?
Okay. I would say step out of your box, have a look at your life, and think about something you are not grateful for. Now, I shouldn't say not grateful for, but if there's something that is really just a huge thorn in your side and you find that doing that wipes out your energy, puts you, you know, thinking negative thoughts, adds additional stress to your life. Maybe you have a job that you really, really hate. I would suggest that we start there. And usually the first thing that comes to mind, and this is for clients that come to see me. Quite often it's, well, I need to lose weight. Okay, so my follow-up question would be, what are you doing right now that isn't bringing joy to your life? Because that's going to be the first thing that you take a step toward. And I know changing jobs is a big deal, and I know that's not a small feat for everybody, but quite often people will tell me, I hate my job, and I'll say, okay, well, what's keeping you there? You know, and they've put on weight. That's one of the reasons why they hate their job, is because they're sedentary. They want to do something more active. So you've got to do that whole self-discovery thing and figure out exactly what it's going to be. Find out what's hindering you right now. What is that thorn in your side? Where are we going to start to make change this year? Because usually we think about things that we want to achieve. We don't think about things that we want to change.
I love that. And that is so important, because it's the things that we do that ultimately will result in the things that we want to achieve. And that is such a great point. I hope people really hear what you're saying and kind of take that to heart.
Me too. It's kind of working the problem backwards.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a great show, and I hope it goes through without some of those hiccups that we had at the beginning of the show. But next time, you know, always upward and forward, right, Blythe?
That's right. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yes, you do. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast. Check us out online. Go to cutthefatpodcast.com. Go to Facebook. Search for Cut the Fat Podcast. Like the page. Get involved in the community. Ask your questions on there. Those questions we'll be implementing here on the show. Lots of good stuff to come. So we'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye, guys.